There are two words that I have that the Lord has spoken to me, and I've been struggling over them as to which one I should share. But being as the meeting has gone the way it has, I think that I will deal with one of the ones that I was going to really put on the shelf and hold for another time. And I don't know if many of us really understand.
Thank you.
I don't know if many of us really understand the why of it. Why are things the way they are? What is God doing and why is He doing it? I suppose most of you, if I were to ask you that question, you would probably give me some authorized version of religious thought or idea. Hallelujah. Maybe some of you would come up with the right thought, the right idea. But I think God is revealing some of those things in this hour, in this day. And I think He wants us to know the mechanics of it. I am a contractor and I'm also a carpenter. I just don't tell people what to do. I get in and I show people how I want it done. Hallelujah. That's what that was until I retired. And then I really went to work. Hallelujah. But the fact of the matter is, I don't build without a blueprint. I don't build without knowledge of the circumstances of the environment in which I am going to be building. Because the environment I'm building in, the codes that are in place with regards to that building, and it's not like here in Nigeria, you can just go out and dig a hole and pour cement in it and build a house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's very an elaborate, expensive part of construction in the U.S. You have to go through a long ordained process through each phase of the building. And also with regards to that building, there are codes. There are codes that you have to adhere to. They are building codes. And what they are rules, are laws that have been made for the environment in which you are building. Now, I learned to build in a place called California. It's on the west coast of the United States. I was born and reared there. But California is prone to earthquakes. Hallelujah. So the more your area is prone to earthquakes, hallelujah, the more rigid and strict the building code is. Hallelujah. I lived in, it's been 20 some years since I built commercially. But at the time, there were four categories of earthquakes. The first category was a category one. And that is if you lived on the San Andreas Fault, if you lived in if you lived in San Francisco, if you lived in L.A., those were all listed, I believe, as category one earthquakes. So this rigid standard. And it went all the way up to four, and four was the least amount of the area that I was in, that I was normally building in. So the building codes are put into place to make sure that whatever magnitude of earthquake comes or that frequency, that area, that building will not collapse. Hallelujah. It is not necessarily designed to save the building as much as it is designed to keep the building collapsing on the occupants that are in it. Hallelujah. It may destroy the building in some way or another, but they want to make sure that that building doesn't collapse in its entirety. That will give an individual, if he's in the house, the opportunity, if necessary, to be able to get out of the house. Do you understand? Because they really can't deal with the forces that earthquake creates. Hallelujah. Because when an earthquake hits, there is no place that isn't moving. Everything is moving. Hallelujah. And there's just no place you can run to get out of it. They say that if you're in a house, the safest place is in a doorway. Because in the doorways, There's a double stud on each side of the door. There's a big header that's strapped down to the stud. So that has an added position of strength. But you get five people in a house under one doorway. Hallelujah. It gets pretty crowded. Hallelujah. Well, the mechanics of all of this come from spiritual laws. They come from spiritual forces that are in play, and there are spiritual laws that govern those spiritual forces. Hello? So when God began to consider the issue that was before Him, we kind of have to understand the mechanics of what was happening prior to Genesis 1:1. Hallelujah. Because Genesis 1:1 is just the beginning of the solution. It's just the beginning of the operation that God was putting in place by which He might be able to deal with the issue He had before Genesis 1:1. Hallelujah. And you know, there's a lot of different versions out there. But I believe the version that I have is a version that is written in the Scripture. There is a position of responsibility, first and foremost, that the Elohim takes concerning the issue that we have about light and darkness. There's a certain position of responsibility that He assumes. Hallelujah. And because of that, there are certain things He has put in place by which you and I might be able to escape from those conditions and be loosed or free from them. Hello? Are you following what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And so, in the beginning, when you go to Genesis chapter 1, and I'm not going to go into a lot of scriptures, you can go and look it up, check me out. Hallelujah. In the beginning there, it says that the earth was without form and void, and what? And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, there is a particular wording of that scripture. Hallelujah. There's a particular wording of that scripture that is only found in one other place in the Bible. And your Bible is the best lexicon you have to define something that is written in some other place. Hello? Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't have to go to Fawcett. You don't have to go to Thayer's. You don't have to go to Browns and Biggs. You don't have to go to Strong's. Hallelujah. All you have to do is find it in the Word of God. And the Word of God will give you the understanding and the explanation of what it is that you are looking. Now, all of these other things are help meets. They are things that help you in your quest to know or to gain greater knowledge. And that is another issue that I want to highlight. You have a responsibility to dig into the Word of God. Hallelujah. You sit here, you take your notes, or you have the tape, you go home, what do you do with your notes? What do you do with them? What do you do with them? Somebody tell me. You fold them up and you put them on the shelf. Or you stick them in a desk drawer. Do you ever look at them again? Not very often. There's not very many people that do. Are the tapes that we make? How many of you go through the tapes over and over and over again? Hallelujah. Brother Tijoki, nobody's saying anything. Hallelujah. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility. You have a responsibility to make sure that what I'm telling you is the truth. Hallelujah. You have a responsibility to verify, validate, and have come away with that verification and validation in your heart that this really is truly the Word of God. And I'll tell you something else. Unless you do that, God cannot talk to you. Hallelujah. God cannot talk to you. God will not talk to you. Because He doesn't want lazy Christians. He doesn't want lazy sons. He wants sons who are diligent. Peter said, make sure. Be ye therefore diligent. What? To make sure. What? Your calling and election. To make it sure. Oh my goodness. Come on, brethren. Hallelujah. It's easier to shout and sing and praise, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But there, that scripture, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. If you will go to Jeremiah 4, hallelujah, and you read the whole chapter, hallelujah, take the whole thing in context, and you will find that Israel is rebelling against Yahweh. He's rebelling against Jehovah. Hallelujah. In fact, the lamentation of God is written right there. Hallelujah. As far as his tents being spoiled, what are his tents? What are his tents? Huh? When God speaks of tents, what is he speaking of? He's speaking of his tabernacle. So what is he talking about? He's talking about the people who are supposed to be his people, hallelujah, are defiling their tabernacle with other things. Hallelujah. Now, I don't suppose, at least I hope, that any of you have idols in your house and you're bowing down or worshiping them. My God, I hope not. Hallelujah. But there are other things that are that are just as much an idol as that image. Hallelujah. There are several things. Prosperity for one. Comfort for one. Security for one. Hallelujah. Education for one. Hallelujah. Job status for one. Hallelujah. All of these different things. A house, a car, whatever the case may be. Whatever it is. Big screen TV. Hallelujah. Whatever the case may be, you got to have not just one, you got to have one in every room. Hallelujah. Got to have it in the bedroom. Got to have it in the living room. Got to have it in the office. Hallelujah. Oh, there's another one. Can anybody know? Does anybody know what it is? Huh? Bow down to it. Three times a day. Four times a day. Five times a day. Huh? Hallelujah. And if you're without your cell phone, you're lost. Hallelujah. Come on. I guess I'm talking to the wrong people, Brother Chijoki. Hallelujah. I bet everyone has their cell phone, and I bet it's on. And maybe not even on silent, but if it's on silent, you got to vibrate because you don't want to miss a message. Huh? Everyone's got a cell phone. Almost. These guys, they're working on it. Hallelujah. They want a cell phone. Hallelujah. Everybody got a cell phone, and it's on. Hallelujah. It's on. Why? Because you don't want to miss anything. Hallelujah. I was sitting in a meeting. Spirit of God was moving. It was here somewhere. Was it here? It was before this place was built here. It was back over yonder or somewhere. We had a stage back there, right? It was back there. This was open. This had no building over it then. I was sitting there, and the Spirit of God was moving. Spirit of God was moving, moving, moving. People were getting delivered. People were getting healed. People were being caught up in the Spirit. And all of a sudden I hear, beep, 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 beep. And I'm thinking, God's sending me a message? Now, beep, 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 beep. And I turn around and look, and this lady's punching her cell phone. Hello? My God. I don't think she was calling up the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was standing right next to her. She wouldn't need a phone. Hallelujah. So anyway, hallelujah. There are spiritual laws concerning spiritual things. And there is a necessity for us to understand some of that, of which some of which God is working and what God is doing. And if you go into Jeremiah 4, concerning that the earth was without light, and it was without form, and it was void. However, the exact rendition of it, that exact scripture is found in Jeremiah 4 when it explains or demonstrates or is made in reference to the rebellion and sedition that was coming and moving against God. Hallelujah. As their sole position or goal of interest. Hallelujah. You know, I ask young people, what do you want to be? What are you studying to be? Not ever once have any one of them answered me, they want to be a son of God. They want to be an engineer. They want to be a nurse. They want to be a doctor. They want to be a lawyer. They want to be this. They want to be that. They want to be. But never a son of God. And you know, our children, my children, are under the auspices of this word. And they should desire to be sons of God. Hello? Hallelujah. I'm not making the same mistake with my grandchildren that I have made with my kids. Hallelujah. Because I want to encourage my kids, encourage my young people, encourage those who are under my authority in one way or another. I want to encourage them to be sons of God. I don't want them to be U.S. citizens. I don't want them to be American. I want them to be sons of God. I don't want them to be sons of Asbel. I want them to be sons of the Father. Hallelujah. And if something doesn't change in that respect, hallelujah, at the end of the day, many of us are going to be disappointed. Hallelujah. We're going to be disappointed because we're not going to be in that position or that place or that group of people that are called the five wise virgins. Hallelujah. 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 So there was a problem in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 1. And the Elohim wanted to deal not with just the problem, but he wanted to deal with the root of it. Hallelujah. Now, there was something in his mind, and I cannot with accuracy tell you what was in his mind, but I can give you an idea of something that was going on in his mind. Because you see, the Elohim was not just living for the moment. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. He's the beginning. He's the end as far as time is concerned. And there's something that he wants to do in that time frame. But the something that he wants to do in that time frame is not for that time frame. It's for eternity, or the thing that happens after the time frame is done, is finished. Because there is no need for an eternal being to have anything to do with time. What do you need time for if you are eternal? Hallelujah. If you are in the Godhead, if you are in that position of relationship, what is the value of time? There is no value of time. You become something that is eternal. Maybe I've got my Bible wrong. Don't you want to live eternally? Hello? Some of us want to live eternally just because we don't really want to die. Hallelujah. Now, you young people, you probably don't think about dying. I didn't when I was your age. But, you know, it's something a little bit more real to me now than it was back then. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, what does it say? 3 score and 10? Is it 3 score and 10? Huh? So it's 70 years. Hallelujah. Well, I'm looking at 70 in the rear mirror. Hallelujah. And it's getting farther and farther away. Hallelujah. And it says, by reason of strength, I'll give you another 10 years. Hallelujah. And I don't think that's physical strength. I think that's spiritual strength. Hallelujah. But so death to me is something a little more of a reality than it may be to you. But I can assure you that death is sitting there waiting for you. Hallelujah. And I could just as well say he is biding his time. Hallelujah. Because everyone has to come at one point or another, either early or late, to the terminal, to the position of where death is preeminent and staring them in the face. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we are supposed to be prepared for that, by the way. Because we are supposed to have the strength to overcome that spirit. And it is a spirit. Hello? Hallelujah. How can you cast something that doesn't have an entity or a substance? How can you cast that something into hell? It says that death in hell will be cast where? Into the lake of fire. That's what it says. So it is a spiritual substance. It's a spiritual entity that you and I have to contend with. Okay, let me give you an idea. Hallelujah. You get a headache. Let's say you're kind of exposed to... let's say you get a headache. Hallelujah. What do? Be honest. Hallelujah. You probably go to the cupboard and get aspirin or Tylenol or whatever you have on the market these days for you. And you pop a couple of those pills in your mouth. Hello? Hallelujah. Why? Because you want to alleviate the pain. You don't want the pain. You don't want the pain in your head bothering you. Hello? Hallelujah. If I can't overcome a headache, if I'm not willing to endure the suffering of a headache, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And sometimes a headache comes because of natural reasons. Your body is imbalanced. It's too alkaline or too other. There's alkaline and something else. I don't know. My wife knows all about that stuff. Hallelujah. And you can do some natural things to remedy the condition. But the fact of the matter is, hallelujah, we do not want to have to deal with the pain. Hallelujah. We want to have the comfort of not having a headache. Now, if I have a headache and I can't overcome a headache, how am I going to overcome a broken arm or a broken body in some way? Or how am I going to overcome something that is much more difficult for me to overcome? How about cancer? Hello? When somebody says, you have cancer, hallelujah, it's like the death knell. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my God, cancer. Hallelujah. And you know, cancer is probably the closest thing that represents malignant darkness. Because cancer, and this, you doctors correct me if I'm wrong, hallelujah, cancer lives in your body and it assumes a position of whatever your body is willing to accept and becomes a part of that body as though it was supposed to be there. Isn't that how it works? Hallelujah. I have a doctor shaking his head, yes. Hallelujah. So you have this thing living inside of you, and this thing living inside of you is making you its host. It's living off your vitality. It's robbing your strength. It's robbing your health. It's taking your life. And at the end of the day, that thing kills you. Hello? Hallelujah. That is like darkness. That is like malignant darkness. Hallelujah. And that's why I call that darkness malignant. It has the ability to expand, to grow, and to, what do they call it? Mathesize? What do they call it? Doctors, what do they call that when the cancer breaks up and spreads? Huh? Yes, that's what they do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So it's not just that it is willing to confine itself to one little position or place. It wants to spread out through your entire body to make sure it kills you. Hallelujah. And that's what darkness does. That's what darkness does. And that's what was there in the beginning. Darkness. Hallelujah. Let me go to Genesis chapter 1. I think I need to read the scripture just for the sake of clarity. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Hallelujah. In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now that darkness, not the darkness that you are talking about with regards to the position or the place of light. When you switch on a light at night, it gets light, you switch it off, it gets dark. This darkness is a latent power. It has a negative energy in it, and it can be used in a manner that will bring destruction. Hallelujah. Because everything about that darkness is in opposition to light. Hallelujah. But it's not just in opposition or something that is opposite. It is something that resists light. Hallelujah. But the light has the power to what? To overcome the darkness. It pushes it out and displaces it. Hello? Hallelujah. But that negative energy, that negative power was something that was in direct opposition to what it was that God is. Hello? Hallelujah. Because the Bible says that God is light. By virtue of Him being light, there is the substance that is created that is called darkness. Hello? In fact, the Bible says that, by the way. Can I give you a little example of how it works? I have two people. Huh? This brother here, he has a need. Hallelujah. And his need is, he needs $100 to take care of some sort of critical financial trouble. Okay. And this brother here, he has a need. And he needs $100, hallelujah, to keep care of some critical financial situation. He is desperate. He is desperate. I have been instructed. I have been given $100. And I have been instructed to give it to the person whose need is the most critical. Now, they're standing up before me, and I have that $100 bill. Hallelujah. And I am assessing their situation. It seems like I have the ability to do so. And this brother's need is greater than this brother. But this brother doesn't know what this brother's need is. All he knows that he needs money, and he needs money, but he thinks his problem is greater. And he knows that this brother has a problem, but he thinks his problem is greater than that brother. In actuality, this brother is greater than that brother. Do you get all of that? Do you understand that? Hallelujah. Now I have $100. And I've been instructed to give it to the person who has the greater need. Let's call that $100 light. Huh? So I give this brother the $100. Go ahead, take it. What are you going to do? I have created light for him. I have relieved his situation. I have delivered him out of his critical situation. financial. What happens to you now? What's going on in your mind? Darkness. My good act, my good intentions, hallelujah, have created a situation, hallelujah, of darkness. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Hallelujah. Now, if we can understand that, then we can understand a little bit of what it was like in the beginning. Hallelujah. Now, how does that problem get alleviated? He now has light. Hallelujah. And he knows this condition over here, and he sees the darkness. What is his responsibility? What is his responsibility? Huh? So, yes, to share the light with him. So he's going to take $50 and he's going to give it to this brother. Take your $50 and give it to him. See, he's smiling. What have you done? Huh? Well, you have taken care of some of the darkness. He still has a little resentment in there. Hallelujah. Because I gave it to you first. So there's a little lingering darkness. What would you do now to eliminate that position? Not only to eliminate him from his in darkness entirety, but also raise you up a step higher into the light. What would you do? Give him back his $50. Now what are you going to do? Oh, you're going to encourage him. Oh, have faith, brother. How are you going to encourage him? You take your $100 and give it to him. Take your $100 and give it to him. Huh? Now he's really smiling. He's probably jumping up and down. You have just given your $100, and you have not only eliminated the light, but you have made a step up a little higher into a brighter light. Because God honors the circumstance. God honors the sacrifice. Hello? That is how light and darkness works. Hello? There's nothing complicated about it. So the Lord wanted to deal with the issue of darkness. There are two blocks or two stones. Hallelujah. When you build a building, you all build with block, right? Hallelujah. 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 They call that a what? Do you call it a cornerstone? Is that right? Is that how you guys build with block? Huh? Does anybody know? Hallelujah. You have to start somewhere. You're going to build a building. So you have to start somewhere. So you start with a cornerstone. Hallelujah. And the whole building is laid out from this position. The length as well as the breadth. Isn't that right? Huh? The two cornerstones of darkness is the two cornerstones are rebellion and stubbornness. I think it's two B's. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Those are the two cornerstones of darkness. If you will go to... I want you to go to... Where am I? Oh, here. I want you to go to... Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 15. Hallelujah. Well, my thing is taking time. 1 Samuel chapter 15. And I think it's verse 23. Hallelujah. 21. 1 Samuel 15, 21. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody have that? Oh. All right. But the people took the spoils, sheep and the oxen, the chief of all things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice them unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. That's not quite what I want. Give me some more. Let me see some more. I want to go down. Okay. And Samuel's. Well, see. Oh, yeah. And Samuel said, hath the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of lambs. Can you put on the mark on that hearken and open it up as to what it means? Do you have a concordance for hearken? Well, evidently not. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, go down to verse 23, please. For rebellion is as, that's an added, you could just leave it out. For rebellion, the sin of witchcraft. Hallelujah. Rebellion is the sin of witchcraft. You all know what witchcraft is, right? Hallelujah. You have your juju men out there in the bush or in the city, wherever it may be. Hallelujah. And if you want something done, and you want to, you go by that means or that that way, you go to this person, you give him something of an offering, pay him or do something, so he will give you some sort of chant or spell or potion that you might work your way or will upon someone else. Hallelujah. That's just the physical manifestation of it. There's a spirit behind it. Hello? You know what, if you want to put it into simplified form, rebellion is it is resistance against an authorized authority. Hallelujah. So if you're driving down the road and the speed limit is 60 miles an hour and you're going 80 miles an hour, you're breaking the law. Oh, there's no cars there, there's nothing there, blah 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 blah. But nevertheless, you're breaking the law. Hello? And you are participating in rebellion. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And not only are you participating in rebellion, but you are perpetrating an action. Spiritually speaking, you are perpetrating an action. Hallelujah. You come around. There's a guy in front of you, he's going too slow, you put on your horn and zip around him. Hallelujah. That guy sees you zipping around him, he steps on the gas a little more and tries to catch up with you. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. So, when you look at rebellion, you have to look at it in every aspect and every form in which it exists. Hallelujah. One of the major positions or places that we see rebellion is in marriages, in families, hallelujah, between husbands and wives, between children, siblings and children, hallelujah, between children and parents and children, hallelujah. It is one of the major factories of rebellion, hallelujah, hallelujah. You know, hallelujah, we should teach our children to respond to adverse situation in a respectful manner. Do you understand? If I do something that offends the child should have a right to address me with it without fear of reparation. Hallelujah. But he has to be able to do it respectfully. He has to do it in a way that is not in rebellion or out of his emotions or out of his wrong thinking. You understand what I'm saying? But if I don't have that control over my own soul as far as that is concerned, how can I expect my child to respond in the same, respond out of that same manner? Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Normally, usually, what we do is we train our children to be just as rebellious as what we are rebellious with regards to our own position of personal living, as well as our own position of oversight in the aspects of the places that we are in. Hallelujah. And the Bible, this is, hallelujah, this is the two building blocks of darkness. Everything about darkness, hallelujah, comes from these two aspects, these two spiritual entities are influences. Stubbornness, hallelujah, hallelujah. What does it say stubbornness is? Hallelujah. Stubbornness is as the sin of iniquity. Does anybody know what iniquity is? Can you tell me what iniquity is? As far as what it is, what it's made up of? Hallelujah. Iniquity, hallelujah, is indicative of a nature. Hallelujah. It is indicative of a nature. It's not just a word that is descriptive of an action. It is indicative of an entity or a personality in and of itself. And that personality and that aspect of nature is malignant darkness. Go into Galatians, I believe it is the fifth chapter. Is it the fifth chapter? And it lists the different things that you have to deal with as a Gentile. Hallelujah. It is indicative of a nature. Romans, the fifth chapter, says that we all... Romans, the fifth chapter, says by sin, death came into the world. Death came into the world by one man, and so death passed upon all men. That means each one of these little babies, every baby that is born with the nature or the character of sin, or we could call it the nature of iniquity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I-N-I-Q-U-I. Hallelujah. We're all born with the character and the nature of iniquity. Hallelujah. Now why did the Elohim allow that type of situation to happen? Because don't you believe he knew what was going on with Eve there in the garden? Hello? Hallelujah. Because the Father, he came up with this idea, and this idea was going to deal with the entity that is called darkness, and it was going to deal with the agent of darkness, which was called Satan or the devil. The devil is just using something to his advantage, but he cannot use that something unless he has something else under his control. Hello? Because God stacked the deck. Do you know what I mean when I say stack the deck? Oh, it's not a term you're familiar with. When we play cards, well, they have this game called poker. Some of you may know it. But there are certain hands that give you more power than the other people. And when you're playing poker, you're betting things. You're betting chips or money or whatever it may be, going into the pot. Hallelujah. And if you stack the deck, if you're skilled enough to stack a deck, you arrange the cards in a certain manner so that when they are dealt out, you deal yourself the winning hand. Hallelujah. And some people are very skilled at it. Hallelujah. And the Lord, the Father, he stacked the deck against the devil. Because the devil does not have the creative power to utilize the darkness to his advantage. He was not created in that manner or fashion by which his makeup would allow him or give him the authority to do that. Hello? But when God made man, he did something very peculiar and very different from what he did in any other type of situation. Hallelujah. He breathed out of himself into this hunk of dirt, and that dirt became a living soul. Now, do you understand what that means? That means that was the first manifestation of the intent of God in its elementary form of what it was that God wanted as far as the melding and merging of the Father with humanity. Whoosh! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And he had put a law into place prior to that creation that would not allow anything other else that he had created to have that same position, that same power, that same authority. Hallelujah. And you can go into Genesis chapter 1 as you read the story and as you go across the things that are being spoken as being created, he put a limit on what it was they could create. He said, everything has to bring forth after its own kind. Hallelujah. And the devil and the angels, hallelujah, do not have the power of procreation. Jesus made that very clear when the Pharisees came to him, the Sadducees came to him, asking him, whose wife will this woman be, being as she has married the seven brothers? What did Jesus say? Hallelujah. There is neither marriage or giving in marriage. Why? Because they are like the angels. Huh? Why? What? They do not have the power of procreation. Hallelujah.
So the doctrine that says that angels came down and married women that were fair in the land, that is a bunch of garbage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When it talks about those mighty men, it's talking about those human men that were mighty in their position of creation as far as their physical being was concerned in their life and what they were doing. Hallelujah. Because they were all called sons of God. Hello? Hallelujah. I hope we put that to rest. Hallelujah. So, man was created after a particular, peculiar kind. Peter saw the revelation when he says, you are a what? A peculiar people. He didn't mean you're strange. He means you're made in a peculiar, particular way that is much different than any other thing that has ever been made or that shall ever be made again. Hallelujah. And that there will be nothing else that will be comparable to the way that you are made. The Bible says about that, it says you are fearfully and wonderfully what? Made. And it's not just talking about your physical physique. It's not just talking about your good looks. Hallelujah. It's talking about that position, that place, by virtue of an inheritance that was promised to Adam in the beginning, by the way. Hallelujah. It wasn't new by the New Testament. Hallelujah. It was promised to Adam. Adam, by virtue of the word that the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Eve when he said, the seed that comes forth out of you, his heel shall bruise the head of the serpent's seed. Bruise! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, the Lord, the Father, hallelujah, had to bring this malignant force, this malignant negative energy down to a shape and form in which man could handle it. Hallelujah. And the first division of that was when he said, let there be light. Hallelujah. And he separated the light from the darkness. Now, there's something else here that you need to look at. In the following, he said, and he saw the light, and the light was what? Wait a minute. He saw the light. That means the light had not been seen prior to that point. Huh? Come on. Does your Bible say the same thing as mine? If I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. Hallelujah. And he saw the light, and the light was good. Hallelujah. Now, anybody you know what that light was? Come on. What does John chapter 1 say? Huh? What does John chapter 1 say? Come on. Who was the light? Christ. Christ. Hallelujah. We didn't have the man Jesus till 4,000 years later. Hallelujah. But Christ was the light. So Christ in the mind of God, hallelujah, in the mind of the Father, would now be the vehicle through which he might be able to deal with man, with darkness, with devil, and man coming in union with Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation 13. There's a scripture there. I'm not sure where it's at, but there's a scripture there talking about the beast. But down at the little end of the chapter, end of the verse, there's a little bitty bit of scripture that says, whose names are not written in the book of life. What? Of the Lamb slain from when? When was the Lamb slain? Hallelujah. So the plan of God was there in the beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The plan of God was there in the beginning. So there is a validation in the scriptures to what I am telling you concerning the issue of darkness and devil and you and me. Hallelujah. So when He said, let there be light, God brought the dominion of darkness into a particular realm, and He housed it there, and He took the position of the kingdom of light. Hallelujah. And you might as well call one heaven, and you might as well call the other hell. Hallelujah. But that division and that changing of the darkness was not yet complete or finished, because He had to bring it and condense it and bring it down again. Hallelujah. And so the Bible tells us that there are two trees that God planted in the garden. Hallelujah. There was a tree of life, and there was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Hallelujah. And God said to Adam and Eve, you may eat of the tree of life. You may partake generously. You may eat all you want, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what? You must not eat that fruit. In the day that you eat it, you will die. Hallelujah. Do you think it was a real apple tree? What kind of tree is that? That's going to kill you. What kind of tree is it? Come on, brother. You're afraid to say it, aren't you? Hallelujah. What kind of tree is it? It's darkness. Hallelujah. It's darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know, when the Father gave the commandment, He knew that humanity was going to partake of that tree. He's all-knowing. Hallelujah. And it was a necessity for man to take of that tree, because when man took of the tree, he died. He became darkness. Hallelujah. Now, God has it in a place and in a position where He's going to give you and I the authority to deal with it. Hallelujah. Now remember, He wanted to make you not just in His image, but like Him. But the making of you like Him is something of a responsibility that He puts in your hands. Because He knows your ability to choose that to do good is the thing that makes you like Him. God did not want to make you like a robot that you just automatically do what He wants you to do. God wanted you to choose what it was you wanted to do. Hallelujah. So that tree of knowledge. Hallelujah. That tree of knowledge. Good and evil. Hallelujah. Became darkness when humanity partook of it. Man became, hallelujah, man became darkness. He was born with the nature of darkness. Hallelujah. John, the first chapter, verse 12. I suggest you read the whole chapter, especially the verses preceding that, dealing with the light. It says, "This is the light that what? Shineth into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Look at that word, comprehended. It means it could not resist it. It could not stop it. It could not catch a hold of it. It could not restrain it. It could not manipulate it in any fashion or form when it went through and into the darkness. Hallelujah. The only recourse that the devil has, hallelujah, is that the devil has to somehow bring that entity of humanity under his influence. Hallelujah. And he brought that man under his influence, Romans 6:16, to whom you yield your members, servants to obey, hallelujah, whether unto righteousness or unto sin, ye become the servant to whom you submit those members to. That word members, hallelujah. The word members, hallelujah, is translated weapon. So it's not just talking about your hands, your feet, your mouth. It's talking about your mind. It's talking about your emotions. It's talking about your position, your place of desire. All of these attributes, all of these aspects are weapons under the influence of darkness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the remedy to all of this is that the Lord, hallelujah, the Lord, hallelujah, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, hallelujah, circumvents the whole plan, the whole purpose of the devil by bringing the light to man in the midst of his depravity and the midst of his malignant darkness. Hallelujah. And the devil has no ability to interfere with it, to change it, or to work in some fashion against it. That light has no power over his ability in the aspect of the external to stop it. The only thing that he has on his going for him is his power of deception. Hallelujah. Your power of deception, as far as the mind is concerned, as far as the emotions and desires are concerned, and as far as the emotions are concerned. Hallelujah. Because he knows what kind you are. Do you hear me? The devil knows what kind you are. What kind are you? Somebody want to tell me? Huh? What kind? If God breathes into your soul and you become a living soul, hallelujah, or just breathes into your soul, what do you become? You become a living soul. Hello? How do you become a living soul? How? How did you get saved? You made a decision. You made a choice. Was it difficult to make it? It was for me. I won't know about you. Was it difficult for you to make it when you made your choice to be a Christian, to get born again? Was there a struggle inside? Huh? Was there a fight going on? No, I should do this. No, you don't want to do that. Yes, I should do that. No, you don't want to do that. Yes, you should do this. Go, go. No, no, I don't want to do that. Was there that fight inside of you when that thing was going on? What is happening? What's going on in that environment? What's going on in there? Huh? What's going on? Darkness is trying to apprehend the light. Darkness is trying to get you to make another decision. One day we were in the house with one of my children. He was just a little guy. And he asked his mom if he could do something. He wanted to go outside. The mom said, or something, I don't know. And the mom said, no, you can't do that. And she told him why. And she said, but Mommy, I want the other no. He wanted Mommy to say yes. The Mommy said no. He said, no, but Mommy, I want the other no. He really wanted the yes. Hallelujah. And the fight that is in there, it's going on. It's struggling, struggling, struggling. But you have an ousousia power by virtue of God that was given to you as an endowment at the very beginning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because you have... Now this is Brother Jokes' department, not mine. Hallelujah. You have... Hallelujah. You are spirit, you are soul, you are body. Hallelujah. And your spirit is something that is off limits to the devil. Hallelujah. Because God made it off limits. When he said to the devil, on your belly shalt thou go, and dust shall you eat for the entirety of your life. Isn't that what he told the devil? Huh? Now, the snake is a representation of the devil. Hallelujah. The snake is a very representation of the devil. But I do not know of any snake that eats dirt. I have been all over the world. I have been in many countries in Africa. And I always ask, do you have a snake that eats dirt? Snakes eat a lot of things, but they don't eat dirt. So it's not a natural snake, and it's not a natural dirt. Hallelujah. So what is he telling the devil? He's telling the devil, well, let me back up. And when he gave the word to man, he says, thus thou art, and unto what? Thus shalt thou return. Hallelujah. So if the devil is going to be wallowing around in dust, and the devil is going to be eating the dust that he's wallowing around in, what is it that the devil is doing? Huh? Hallelujah. You guys are tired, right? He's going to be feeding off of your humanity. So the devil cannot come to you through in your spirit. It's off limits. The devil has been harnessed by God, and he must feed off of you through your body. How does the devil feed on you? Your eyes, your ears, your nose, hallelujah, your sense of touch, hallelujah. These are all doors by which the devil utilizes darkness to come in and overflood and overshadow your soul. Hallelujah. He wants to bring the world and the accoutrements of the world into these five doors so that they will flood your soul body and they will flood your soul in darkness. Now, Isaiah 55, I believe. No, 60. 61. You can find it. It says, "And darkness shall cover the earth." And where's the gross darkness? The people. Which is the greater darkness? The earth or the people? Huh? The people. The people are the greater darkness. So it's the people that are making the earth dark. It's the actions of the people that is creating the darkness that is covering the earth. Hello? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But God comes, He brings a word to you, and He says you must be born again. Hallelujah. You must be born again. You must receive the blood of Jesus Christ, and you must be born again. Hallelujah. Not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but by the will of the Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, you get born again, and you got born again by the fact of the matter of you making the right decision. Hallelujah. If anybody ever asks you if you've ever seen a miracle, you tell them yes. I see it every day. I look in the mirror. I was dead, and now I'm alive. Because I was born again. Hallelujah. Oh my goodness, you guys are looking at me so funny. Hallelujah. So God put the right of choice into your and my hands. Because it is the right of choice that brings a predetermined destiny to you and I. There are only two predetermined destinies. Hallelujah. I covered this the other night, but I'm going to mention it again. Hallelujah. There are only two predetermined destinies. There is the son of perdition. There is no middle road. You either make a choice for light or you make a choice for darkness. Hallelujah. And on this side is the son of perdition. On this side, there is the son of Elohim, are the son of Jehovah. Hallelujah. Those are the two predetermined destinies. And you determine which destiny you're going to end up at the end of the day. Now, the Bible says there are three divisions of Christianity. There are three divisions of Christianity. There is the 30-fold. There is the 60-fold. And there is the 100-fold. Hallelujah. Now, that terminology, fold, and those figures were given in a particular, peculiar context. Matthew chapter 13, I believe it is. Or is it 25? No, it's 13. Huh? Yeah, Matthew 13. Hallelujah. Those categories are mentioned in reference to seed. Hallelujah. It's mentioned in reference to seed. Now, everyone has the same quality of seed that anyone gets when they receive the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I'm a farmer by trade. And when I want to plant something like wheat, I go and I look at the market of what wheat's available. And they put a little stamp that this wheat produced 99.999%. That means every kernel had the same potential, had the same quality, had the same thing as the other kernel. No seed was different from the other seed. Hallelujah. Now, what is going to determine whether I bring forth 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold? What is going to make the determination as to what I get at that harvest? What's going to make that determination? Huh? Is it the seed? Because the seed is good. It's how I take care of the ground and how I care for what it is that's planted there. Hello? The more care and concern that I lavish upon it, the greater the harvest that it is going to be. It will produce more than if I just let it grow out there naturally by itself. Hello? Hallelujah. Do you know why farmers plow their ground? Do you know why they plow it? Hallelujah. They plow here, right? They probably do with an ox and a deal, I suppose, some of it. Hallelujah. That's what they do in Ethiopia. You see the cow out there going back and forth and in the Philippines. Hallelujah. But you go out there to break up that fallow ground. You go out there to break that ground that gravity, rain, and the elements have beat down on it, beat down on it, beat down on it, beat down on it, beat down on it. And you want to go out there and break it up so that that seed has the ability to go down to in the ground to get established. Hallelujah. And not only that, but when you plow, you are turning the weeds and things over. Hallelujah. And you're burying them and you're giving that seed an opportunity to come up without competition. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, the reason why they plant certain crops a certain distance apart from each other is that they don't want those plants competing for the nutrients and the elements that are in the ground. Hallelujah. It's all a science, by the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And how I tend the ground as a diligent farmer is going to determine what I get at the end of the day as far as a harvest is concerned. Now, what am I farming? I have to eliminate that position and that place that the darkness has over control over my mind, my emotions, and my desires, as well as my will. I have to be working to bring them all into subjection to the light of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that means I have to change. I was brought up, I am one of three boys. I have an older brother, and I have a younger brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I won't go into the mechanics of all that. But each of us had different interests, but each of us were influenced by some of the culture of the environment in which we were living in. Hallelujah. I was affected. I lived in California, brought up in California, and I had this drawing, this tendency to go to the western side of American history. Hallelujah. And when I say the western side of it, I'm talking about a cowboy nature. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as I grew up, I was involved in those things that type of lifestyle cultivates and promotes. I listened to country western music. I went to rodeos. I went to horse events. I went to different things that were involved in this type of culture. Hello? And the more I got into that culture, the more I became a part of that culture. Hallelujah. I was having cowboy boots. I had cowboy jeans. I had cowboy shirts. And the shirts had to be a particular style. They had to have a particular cut. They had to be snap buttons. They had to be some sort of pearl buttons. Hallelujah. And they had to have a configuration that was different than the normal shirt that you would wear. Now, every cowboy had the same style of shirt. Different color, stones and sand. But everybody had the same thing. And they had a belt. And the belt always was nice and big. Hallelujah. And it either had rodeo on it, or it had horses on it, or it had cattle on it, or something, and it had a nice big silver buckle. Hallelujah. Because you wanted everyone to know that you were a cowboy. And to top it off, you had the cowboy hat. Hallelujah. And you know, bless their hearts, Mavis and Cecil DuSeal, that's what they found when they came to California. A cowboy. And I had a horse, by the way. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now there are no cowboys.